When I was looking for a sponsor for this show, I was so excited to find out that my favorite offering maybe ever was available, and that's Audible. I have been using Audible for over 15 years, if not more. I have hundreds of books on there. I listen to audiobooks just as much as I listen to podcasts, probably, which is a lot. And I love, of course, reading physical books. I just don't make enough time for it right now. And I know that if I wait to make the time, then I won't be able to get to the book for a long time. So sometimes having the audio version available is really, really helpful. And then this is, I think, more relevant for the kinds of books that I would listen to, which are like a lot of spiritual teachings and maybe like business books and things that are not the nonfiction type. I do listen to nonfiction as well, but I definitely listen to the other books a lot more, at least historically speaking. So it was nice because a lot of times I could listen to the book. And then if I wanted to get the book later, the actual physical book, I could go through it as well. And I'd have a deeper understanding, especially when it was like a esoteric concept. I really loved that so much. I think that having the audio version of a book is so, it's such a wonderful offering because our culture moves really quickly. And it is really important that we sit and read physical books. However, it's also really good that we can listen to things and get that information still. And it's totally mind expanding when you have that availability, which is one of the reasons I love podcasts and that, of course, I'm sitting here doing it. So that's one reason I love Audible. I also really love it because I really feel like we have so many, again, messages that come at us all the time in culture. You know, our phones, our social media, the television, the radio, everywhere we go, there's somebody saying something. And I really believe it's important to curate what you put in your ears, and you actually have control over that. With something like Audible, you can really be specific, and it's very individual to you what you want to listen to and how you want to shape your mind and how you want to shape your point of view and what kind of other perspectives do you want to try on and see through somebody else's eyes. I think that that is an incredible practice to really expand your life in so many ways. And so I'm really excited that they are a sponsor of the show, and there's a link in the bio. They do a 30-day free trial, and then I think it's like $15 after that a month. And I'm telling you, it is one of my treasured collections that I have. It's been just incredibly impactful in my life in so many ways. I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't have it. So I'm really excited about it, if you can't tell. And I hope you go ahead and use that link. And thank you for being here. And we'll see who the next sponsor is too. I'm only going to try to pick things that I really get excited about myself personally. And Audible 100% is one of them. All right, back to the episode. Hi, my name is Greta Hopmer, and this is Thought Experiment Called Life, a podcast for multi-passionate creatives living unconventional lives. For people who look at the world with glittering eyes, you might find everything interesting and want to know more about all the things. I delayed starting this podcast because I don't really fit into a niche. I didn't know how to make what I wanted to share fit into a niche. And then I just decided that was my niche is no niche. So I will be covering lots of different things, from herbalism to spirituality things to jujitsu to music to living a multi-passionate creative life. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So I think that I'm guessing I'm probably not alone in that. Being multi-passionate was kind of seen as more flaky up until probably recently. I know that my algorithm has reflected back to me more recently that there are more of us. So I don't know if your algorithm has been showing that as well, but if not, maybe this will help you get into that space. So you'll see, you know, more people who kind of go about the world like we do. We don't approach things the same way that other people approach things. And I would argue that most people are multi-passionate, but we've really been taught to fit into boxes of some sort, fit into categories, fit into niches, and to niche down and to focus on those things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if that is what resonates with you, then that is great. You know, it never really truly resonated with me. I've always found many things really interesting. And quite frankly, I feel like I would like to live until I'm like 500 years old so I can just learn all of the things and do all of the things. That's kind of how I have thought about things. And I love when I meet other people who have that kind of mindset. And I think that people like us also help to awaken that wondery inside other people's hearts who maybe they shut it out because it wasn't practical. It wasn't realistic. In the landscape and the timeline that most of us kind of grew up in. But there are practicalities to being multi-passionate. We're all going to approach being multi-passionate for different reasons. And in my situation, it really, especially now in this part of my life, And when I got into my 30s, I, you know, spent my 20s very, very sick with Lyme disease, if you've heard my previous story, and really couldn't do, like, really couldn't do any of these things, you know. So when I hit my 30s, I was like, I'm making up for lost time, and I'm just going to do everything all at once. And I kind of have been doing that to some extent. But I for sure reframed that and really spent some time looking at it differently. I think making up for lost time felt a bit more of like a negative connotation than it needed to be. It's more that I find there's a lot of things I want to tackle and care about, but there is a practicality to how you go about doing those things. So I kind of think of it like, I've been seeing a meme recently, you know, it's like a, you can look at a spiral where the spiral is going like this way and it's getting bigger and bigger and it's like that. Or you can look at a spiral from this direction and it's kind of building up and up and up like this. And that's kind of how I have been thinking about what I do. So I sort of, it takes longer for sure. But I will think about hitting all the things that I care about in sort of a rotational spiral kind of way and come back around and hit those things. And it, so then I'm able to cycle through everything. I'm very neurospicy, and also things I didn't really understand were just truly part of who I was until I was older. Just assumed something was wrong with me, you know, and now I'm learning how to and honor those parts of myself and work with them also in this world that is starting to honor people like us, but also, you know, there's the practicality thing, you know, side of things as well to just like get things done. So for me, it helps when I rotate through things like that, it helps me actually be able to focus better and it helps me be able to tackle whatever it is I want to get done. It helps me like get that dopamine hit of checking it off my list. And it's been working well. So I definitely have to remain as organized as I can and as chill as I can about that organization. So organization for me personally does not come natural at all. It's just not something I've ever really understood. I tend to think about, I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but I tend to, when there's like categories, I don't know where, like the categories just keep, like if you give me like a drawer to organize, there are 35 categories in there for me, as opposed to some, most people, at least that I know, will be like, you put these things in this one and these in this and there, and then it's organized. It's very hard for me to do that. So again, definitely gave myself a really hard time about that, but learning how to find tools or learn from people, like how did you decide to do that, you know? But especially when it comes to tackling your passion projects. So let's talk about more career, right? As opposed to organizing drawers. I will never be doing an organization podcast, probably. Who knows? Maybe I will. Maybe I'll get super into it. So when it comes to, for instance, so in my life, I have music, and the music portion of things is talking about categories splits off into a couple of things. My own personal music, I do movie trailer and like trailer kind of music, and then I also collaborate with other people for other licensing music as well. So there's like that side of things. Plus then it's just like honing skills and practicing things and just kind of playing with like a new plugin or a new instrument or, you know, a new type of sound that I want to achieve. So there's the music portion of things. And then there's, I do some part-time work for a company and that's about 15 hours a week of that where I'm doing editing and interviewing people and that side of things. So I have like those, that category that needs to be addressed. And then also now with this podcast, right? So I also need to have the time to do that. And if you've listened to some of these episodes, I'm very, very active with my gym training. So I teach jiu-jitsu, I train jiu-jitsu. I have trained in martial arts most of my life. It is just it's a huge thing for me. So it's a huge part of it, of the multi-passion. And that I have to put my training because it's not, my training is, let's just say, not monetized at the moment. So you know, in terms of the practicality of what I'm trying to accomplish at the moment, building things until the part-time situation falls away, then the music podcast and the part-time thing are like my focus at the moment for the practical income, sustainability and all of that. And I hope this is helpful. I'm really like getting into the weeds about this, but I think that, again, you know, if you've been listening to this, I really find the value in sharing stories. I've listened to so many podcasts of people sharing like my business strategies and my whatever, but I don't really feel like people tell you like exactly how they go about doing things. So I'm going to do my best to do that at the risk of feeling super vulnerable about sharing all of that. But you know what? I think it might help. So basically, when I first started plotting out this circle, and this is really when I started honing in, I guess in the past year or so, since my old business faded and also I let go of it. My old Haute Couture was my jewelry, so that was in the part-time slot, right? As I started on this new venture, knowing that music for me, I really needed to make sure I invested my time and energy into music because I kept putting it on the back burner. In the past year or so, I've really kind of fine-tuned this this approach that I have been doing for a long time, but again, I didn't really do it in a way that felt like I kind of just felt like I was being I keep saying flaky about it. I kept feeling like I was not quite committing fully, but now I just realize it just works better for my brain. I actually am more, you know, quote unquote productive. I'm happier going about things this way. So throughout the week, I've realized for me, I do better when I give myself like little time blocks and I know ahead of time what I'm going to do. So I will, and each week might look a little bit different, but I rotate through things and I may do like on a Monday, for instance, I may do 5 hours of my part-time and then switch to 2.5 hours or so of either I'll edit down a podcast or I'll edit down a song, like start like mixing something smaller that doesn't require me to get like fully invested with all of my energy and focus, something I can accomplish pretty quickly and check that box and then be done with that. And then, you know, later in the week, once I've kind of gotten the part-time situation handled, so I might front load the week with some of those hours, so get most of my hours done in the first part of the week, knowing that I'm clearing out the end of the week for all the creative side of things. So I know that all of the things I like have to do have been done. And then the rest of the week, I have a bit more flexibility, particularly when it comes to songwriting or even just like today. I'm going to do a little bit of part-time work at some point today, but I knew that mainly today I was going to sit and record some episodes so I can really sink into that time and just allow it to be what it is without me stopping to think like, oh my God, I'm running out of time. I don't know what to do, you know, because that really is the kind of thing that stifles the creativity is when, for me, if I have any kind of stressor of time constraints that are more administrative or, imposed by someone else or something. So for me, it's helpful to get a lot of the have-tos done earlier in the week, knowing that at the end of the week, I'm still going to block out that time where I might, like if I'm writing a new song or if I know that I'm going to compose something new and I just know that I'm doing it. I emotionally, spiritually, and mentally check in with my muse and spirit and go like, hey, we have a date on, let's say, Wednesday afternoon into the evening. That's when we're going to start. And that's like, it helps me get ready for that time. So when that time arrives, I'm already primed for it. And then I can like reverse that. So then I would spend most at the end of the week, I would spend most of the time with the like 5 hours of the day would be more towards music, either again, creation or sometimes mixing and editing. Usually it's more creation. And then when I start feeling like at the end of that 5 hours, I might start feeling just like really fried. And then I will switch to something like more administrative, maybe go back to the part-time and finish out like an hour or so where, you know, if I'm making a social media post or editing a video of an interview that I did or something. So for me, that's how I've been rotating through handling, you know, so many different projects at one time is blocking that time out. And if I really get stuck, and I know we all have mixed feelings about AI, but for now I'm going to use it to my benefit, even though Terminator 2 was my favorite movie growing up. And that meme of John Connor being like, what are you doing? That being said, I will sometimes, if I don't know how to organize something and I just want to kind of get some other ideas of how to do it, because it really is, it's just like really hard for me to figure that out sometimes, I will put it in ChatGPT and say, like, show me a couple different ways I can organize the next couple days with these tasks in mind, and put in whatever parameters. Like, I would like to make sure I'm done by this time so I can do these things and make sure I do, you know, this many hours on this and get these things accomplished. And it is really helpful. It's super duper helpful because I'll get a couple ideas of how I can organize it. And I may not use those ideas, but it'll help give ideas to my ideas, you know? So that is something that I will use if I get stuck with, like, anxiety about how to organize something, because it just starts feeling like the walls are closing in. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. And it's really hard to be creative or do anything when you feel like that. So if you are a multi-passionate person and you have several things that you really care about that you are trying to tackle, but you're feeling like, you know, it's very easy, and I've done it many times, where you're going, I want to accomplish X, Y, and Z goals. And this is what was happening with my music career before I started doing this, is that I kept being like, okay, I will get to it. I will get to it, you know, and then I ended up just giving that my passion just crumbs of my energy because I wasn't time blocking and I wasn't like allowing myself that space to just really be free within that time. I would only do it like right at the end of things. So if you have something that you're trying to work on, you know, it is, I go back to the snail's pace thing, this is kind of how I got there. I was like, all right, if I take a snail's pace approach where I know it's like slow and steady, I'm getting there, and I'm going to do it in a more methodical way. I'm going to really just chart out the next couple of weeks and kind of give myself some goals that are, you know, not self-imposed stress goals, which I'm very good at doing to myself. So I have to stop and go, like, is this a stressy goal? Like, is this going to stress you out as you get there? Or does it give you just enough of that time crunch to make sure you get it done? And that's something that you have to just figure out for yourself if that's going to work for you or not. And that takes a little trial and error for sure. But being able to figure out, like, where, especially if you're doing something creative, when do you feel most creative? When do you feel like you start getting the energy flowing to be able to allow yourself to channel your creativity, channel your emotions, and have that freedom? Because really, creativity really is channeling. It really is channeling our emotions, channeling spirit, channeling whatever wants to move through us. And if you are forcing that time during a time that is just a time that maybe you should just be answering emails or something, you know, or I actually don't like switching those times. I say for me, usually I will choose times, like if I'm feeling very Lyme foggy, and it kind of sometimes happens, you know, a couple times a week or so, where I'll wake up and it's just like really hard for me to get any kind of clarity going. So I will do usually editing during then, because editing is something that I can like use my motor skills enough and use enough of a creative side, but just like on a low key scale, just to like get my brain warm. It's like a little warm up for my brain. And then I can switch to something that is a bit more creative, in that sense. And then when I switch to the creative part of it, typically what I do first is I allow myself to just play. So if I'm working with a new song, I will just play with sounds. I will just go through all the synth sounds, just like I did when I was like 6 years old and learning piano, but I had a keyboard. I would just press, you know, I'd be like, that's a fun sound. This is a cool sound. And I will just let myself play, you know, play with some beats, like find cool beats that I like and layer them and stack them and allow myself to feel something about it and not judge what I'm doing. And then allow that to get in there so that I can actually hear whatever wants to come through. And usually once I've played a little bit, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I know what I'm doing. And it's one of the best feelings, but it's one of the best ways for me to be able to switch into that creative space after getting that little brain warm up kind of thing. And I think that's really important. Again, if you're, most of us who are multi-passionate are also a little neurospicy and probably have ADHD, and I'm guessing maybe have some autoimmune things going on. I feel like everybody I meet who's like that, we have a lot of similarities in that sense, and that could just totally be my experience, my algorithm in the world. But if you are one of those people, it helps to just be gentle with yourself in that sense and give yourself a little warm up into those spaces. And then when you get there, you're relaxed and everything can just start to flow from you more. And just pay attention to where your energy is as you're going through, because then you'll know when might be a good time to pause and wrap it up and move on to something else, so you're not just so drained and tired by the end of that experience too, because that's not sustainable. And so this approach may take a little bit longer doing this. Like, for sure, would it go faster if you know, myself or whoever just focused on one thing and that one thing only and just powered through? Yeah, it would go faster. It hasn't been what has worked for me, really. I feel I get burned out pretty quickly. It's hard, like I said. And again, my experience is that my cognitive experience isn't always reliable in that sense too. So if I allow myself to cycle through or give myself opportunities where I can do other activities when I'm really, really foggy, it allows me to keep moving forward like my little snail. And I'm still moving forward and getting things done, but it's not so stressful about it, you know? So if you are multi-passionate, this is just something to think about in terms of thinking of it like you're kind of like visiting all of the little, if it's a triforce or it's, and we talk a lot about triforces in this house where everything's triforce. So if you have, you know, that little triforce, let's just say, or however many little points you have of your multi-passions to be able to kind of circle around and visit each, you're like watering each plant. I'm just going to water these plants. And watch them grow and not like stare at them, because even when you're working on one thing, there are times where you have to water the plant, the passion, right? And not do anything. So I also like being multi-passionate because I can, you know, do something in one of my areas that I care about and then let it be and move on to the next thing and start working on that. Let that be, you know, come back around. Okay, now that's ready for me to come back and work on it again and move around like that. It's also really nice when you are working with people who are also very busy. For instance, in my in music, you know, a lot of the people that I work with, I don't want to be up their butt and be like, "Hi, I'm like constantly like, you know, can I give you a thing? Can I send you a thing? Can I whatever?" it's a lot nicer for everybody if I can just circle back. And by the time I circle back, I have something new. They're ready for that. They're able to digest whatever it is I'm going to pass along. And also they appreciate that I'm not frantically needy up their butt about things. Right. And that definitely would be the way that I would have gone about it before. I would have been do you want me to work on something now? Would you like me to sing? I'm here to help. I can help. So this gives, for me, it helps me be able to just have a better rhythm with everyone else too. So I really love being multi-passionate. I definitely, because there are a bunch of things I'm trying to accomplish, and also logistically, financially, because our business died last year, there's a lot of things I have to tackle to help us dig back out of that hole. But this has been such a good approach. I really love the sustainability of it. And if you listen to Matt and I's conversation, I think episode 5, maybe, you know, we really focus on trying to create a sustainable life. It's not about, you know, being a billionaire or whatever, everyone's just make blah, blah, blah. Of course, we want to have, you know, the financial freedom to be in this world and not to be stressed out about the basic needs, as I think everybody should feel that way. And unfortunately, that's, to be debated what's happening right now in the world. So it's that really, it's how do you create something that is sustainable within this world? Because we do have a lot of things that we have to contend with that are outside of, you know, what it is we just want to do in the world. There's other forces at play. So having this approach is, I think, both very gentle to the person and it's also very sustainable as you build. That's my opinion about that. It's been working, you know, for us. I feel that even in a situation where we have been bouncing back from something, it has been something that allows us to have a life that feels good and is more sustainable all around, because our energy has not been super burned out. There's time for play. There's time for community. There's time to explore. And then you get back into your little triforce, you know, build routine there. And if that resonates with you, I definitely encourage you to give it a try. See how you can take kind of the ideas from what I shared about what I do and see how that works. One thing I'll say about like the ADHD brain of myself and a lot of people, and I'll talk more about this, especially with my sister who's a psychologist who can actually give some clinical details on this. But for me, what I've been doing is allowing myself to be ADHD until I kind of settle. I kind of think of like, I used to work at a doggy daycare and all the dogs would run around for however long, but then everybody would sit down. So, but that was the whole great point about the doggy daycare is that people would drop off their pups. They would have so much fun. They would play. They would be like, what's this? What's that? Let's smell all the things. Let's see all the things. And then they would relax and just kind of chill and hang out with each other. So I definitely try as much as, you know, if I'm feeling like as I'm getting into, let's go back to, you know, the creative part of things, playing with sounds, if I like think, oh, there's something I want to look up or whatever, I actually try not to resist it. I've really just been trying to go with it. I've just been to a point, of course, but I will look up the thing and then, okay, I looked it up and move on. I will remember, write that thing down. Okay. And then, you know, and so I get it all out. It's kind of like a free right of my brain to just get out all of the things that keep popping up that are distracting me. And write them down, look them up, put them wherever I need to put them that I can come back to them later if I want, or I've just answered that question that I just had to answer for myself right now. But it's been a better experience for me allowing myself to do that than to like berate myself about how I can't focus and how I should just like be able to just tune everything out and just like lock in. I do eventually lock in and I lock in really well, but I need a minute to just like let my like inner puppy just to like run around and smell everything and be curious and be interested. And quite frankly, I think that's more normal. You know, we say like neurospacey, we say ADHD and all that, but first of all, a world is very primed to set us up for those things. So we're doing the best we can with that. We're interested people. I mean, human beings are very interested in things and there are a billion stimuli happening. So I say, you know, obviously there's a time and a place for all these things. Use your discretion of how you would implement this in your life. But for me, I feel like I'm just going to let my little inner puppy play around for a second first and a few minutes, get it out of my system, look it up when I need, look something up when I need to, write the thing down when I need to, and then know that if I allow myself that grace, I will lock in, I will get it done, and I always do. So part of that is just trusting that you will. And when you are nice to yourself, a lot of times things just work out better, and that should be positive reinforcement for that situation. So I hope it's helpful. I hope you're enjoying these podcasts. I will be interviewing some friends and who are very multi-passionate and live unconventional lives. I'll be interviewing people soon and just kind of getting that going as I learn more about this podcast process. So I hope you are enjoying it. Please subscribe and rate. Rating makes a huge difference. I've always heard this from other podcasters and I'm seeing it now. So yeah, any love that you want to leave, I really appreciate. And really, it's just, this is my love letter to all of you guys. So have a great day.